bring home a winter wonderland. Shop Lowe's limited-time doorbuster deals during Black Friday to save big on holiday staples. Show your cheer with select 2-quart poinsettias for $6 and shine and shimmer with 100-count holiday living incandescent string lights, now 4 for $10. Then get a fresh-cut Christmas tree, now 25% off. Your holiday list lives at Lowe's. We help, you save. Offers valid through 12-1. Poinsettias and fresh-cut trees in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop, we've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Hello, Scott.
Hello, Doug.
How are you?
Doing all right.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Fired up for the long weekend?
Yes.
Of course you are.
Yeah.
Everybody's fired up.
Always fired up for it. Yeah, I felt bad that had a chance Monday night to meet up with some friends from all over the place, and I couldn't get out because, you know, the Pistons and Red Wings are both on, and we do work the following day to talk about stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, so I didn't go, and I got some pictures from the guys who were out there, and I missed out on a good time. And I apologize to my man Alex, who organized the whole thing, and Grush and KB and Andre and all the guys who were out there. Sorry, man.
You decided to open the show today with a public apology to your friends?
That's right.
Okay.
Because
Kang, I didn't have that one on my show sheet.
Because as
do you,
we lead
do you have their phone numbers?
As we lead into this weekend, I mean, tonight's the big bar night that everybody goes out to. I feel like that's more like a if you're in your 20s thing than it is, you know, at the next stage.
Oh, I disagree, my friend. It's going to be wild, Doug, tonight.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Fair enough. But it's different for you because now you get to have that with your family that's come back.
It is actually really weird because we have kids at our home, and I just did the going from empty nester to bang, they're all back. And I was walking through the living room. You'll love this story. Walking through the living room, and there was a random sock. And I pointed at it, and I said, "Honey?" And my wife said, "Kids are home." Yep, there's a sock in the middle of the living room, because why wouldn't there be?
Right, because sock.
Yep.
That's why.
Oh, there you go.
Sock's going to sock, man.
Who doesn't keep one sock in the middle of the living room?
Right.
Who amongst us doesn't keep a sock in the middle of the living room? So anyway, it's just funny, and it's great, and it's exciting to have him home.
Yeah, and it's this whole week is great. You know, you got Thanksgiving is an awesome holiday anyway. You got the turkey, and then the Lions football, then there's football after that, and then there's football after that.
Yep.
Michigan State basketball against North Carolina.
Yep.
That should be some fun. You know, then you get to Friday, and it's another football Friday. And
dude, Friday's schedule's fantastic. I will be in here doing the show, but it's a short show because there's an early Red Wing game, and it'll be a Lions post game, but it'll be Michigan Ohio State pregame. So
a lot going on.
There's a lot going on.
So Friday night's always fun because there are people in town that you want to see. I mentioned yesterday I'll be at 24 Seconds on Friday night. Their 20th anniversary of 24 Seconds being a business in Berkeley, down at 12 miles. So stop by, say hello. There'll be some guest bartenders out there. I'll be there later doing that. I think Dave Burkett's going to be out there, Dan Wetzel, some other people out there. So it should be a lot of fun. And then, of course, Saturday is great day.
Yep.
Great day of football, a great rivalry day. You got, obviously, Michigan, Ohio State, and Auburn, Alabama, and all these other games. It's just going to be a lot of fun. Great weekend.
Spent some time down at Schembechler Hall yesterday, getting ready for Michigan and Ohio State. For people who missed the end of the show yesterday, I did mention that, it, you know, just as a observer from afar, one thing I've discovered when you're kind of with a team all the time, this isn't going to be shocking, is but that I realize that my observations of other teams, I'm almost disqualify myself, because when you're around a team and you get to see stuff, you see how things work, and you figure out people that are, you know, their demeanor in front of the public is completely different the way they are behind closed doors, et cetera, et cetera. Watching Ryan Day from afar, last year I watched his news conference, Michigan Week, and thought that guy's wound tighter than a drum, and I thought his team play reflected it. But I'm not around him all the time, and I don't cover that team all the time. So that was just sort of a casual observation from afar. Whether it has any merit, I don't know, but I felt validated after the game that his team didn't play its best against Michigan last year. This year, I watched his news conference yesterday, and Scott, I couldn't help but come away from the feeling that he's in a much better headspace as a head coach and seemed far more relaxed. Having been around Sharon Moore for a couple of these things now, where he has been in head coaching duties, one as a fill-in and the other last year with his own team. He took a very flawed team down to Columbus last year and won. He was confident, relaxed, like just as happy as could be last year leading up to the Ohio State game, which people thought was a walk to the guillotine. And he didn't see it that way at all. And then talking to his players, they felt like they were letting me in on a secret. You know, I know until Day does it again, people won't believe that he will, but his demeanor this week was different. I will say that to me from, you know, again, maybe it's not behind closed doors, but it was with the media.
Yeah. And maybe that's just as simple, simply explained as, well, you're a national champion. You're defending national champion. Yeah, this game means a lot. National championship means more. You won that. And now because you've got that under your belt, it's probably a big sigh of relief for him that he's got that national championship. And now, okay, I can relax a little bit, but this game, we're going to put emphasis on this game, but I don't have to be breathing fire to let everybody know that, at least out publicly. And he can save that energy.
I don't know that 100% your description of the way Ohio State fans feel is accurate. I get how you feel, and I understand why you feel that way.
But look, there's going to be fringe people in every fan base. Michigan people feel the same way, that they'd rather beat Ohio State than win a national championship. There'll be people like that too. They are fringe, and there's a reason they call them the lunatic fringe. Because you're crazy to think that that's what you'd rather have than a national championship. But of course, there are people that walk around like that. But it's not just the Ohio State side. It's on the Michigan side. It would be on an Alabama side. It would be on an Auburn side. It would be on a Texas side. It would be on an Oklahoma side. Wherever you got a rivalry, you're going to have people that grip the club too tightly.
For the record, I do not speak for Ohio State fans. You do. I do not. I have no idea how many, what percentage are that way.
Well, you seem to think that it's quite a bit that would rather beat Michigan than win a national championship.
I was surprised at the reactions that I saw and the people that I know about that. But, you know, I don't speak for them. So I will tell you that I think this game is, here's the question. Ohio State's locked into the playoffs. As this game morphs towards the pros, you know what pro teams do in this game? They sit players. Would Ohio State get a first round bye with a loss? Or do you think they'd be hosting again?
They would host if they...
They would drop out of the top four.
Yeah, I would think so. Well,
probably.
It depends what happens behind you. I mean, you don't play that. That's why you don't play the rest game, because you don't know what
happens. You don't know what happens behind you. I think Michigan is in a good spot. I don't think it's a guarantee that they get into the playoffs with a win over Ohio State, because, again, the context, but I think their resume would become extraordinarily strong.
How about this? If things fall a certain way, let's say Michigan beats Ohio State. Would the first round be Michigan at Ohio State? Is that possible?
Yeah. I mean, Ohio State, if they drop out of the top four, seeds 5 through 8 host games, Michigan won't rise. Yeah, it could be in play. They could play again down in Columbus.
Yeah.
If Michigan, well, here's the other thing that's crazy. If Michigan beats number one Ohio State and Washington
beats USC,
beats Oregon.
Oh, sorry.
Yes. Then Michigan will go from playing number one Ohio State to playing number one Indiana in the Big Ten title game.
Oh, I keep forgetting about the Big Ten title game.
Yeah. And that now the question becomes, I mean, the committee set a precedent that if you're in the playoffs and you lose your conference title game, you're still in. But if the resume is good enough to get in, you know, the way the Big Ten title is, I suppose you play for it, but you don't want to play for it and lose your playoff spot. But I believe nobody's ever beaten back-to-back number ones. Michigan has to beat one first. Get it. It's a huge ask. But nobody, I don't think anybody's ever beaten back-to-back number ones. But again, they have to beat Ohio State first, and that won't be easy. How can they do it? We'll get to that. We'll have our college football questions coming up today at 10:30 with the Blitz thingy. We'll get to some Lion stuff. The Birchie Kid, our insider, is going to join us at 11. And we have a holiday version of the Are You Going to Eat That? Thanksgiving version of Are You Going to Eat That? That is very gravy forward. I will tell you that. All right, Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. We asked a question on Twitter. What's Michigan's path to victory against Ohio State? How do you see it going down? How can they get there? I will tell you one thing. Like I talked about how I thought Day's demeanor last year was indicative of a coach. It looked to me like a coach who was wound pretty tight, and then I thought his team might have reflected the way his head coach felt, the way the head coach was. The other thing that Michigan has really capitalized on the last 2 years that I'm not sure they're going to be able to capitalize on this year is special teams. Last year, Dominic Zavada was good from 50-plus in a 13-10 game. He made a 50-plus yarder, and they obviously kicked the one at the end. Michigan, Ohio State botched a kick return and started a drive at like their own six. Ohio State went 1-for-3 on field goals. And the year before, Michigan was 3-for-3 on field goals, and Ohio State was 1-for-2 on field goals in a game that was decided 30-24. So, and they were plus 10 on punts. Like every exchange of punts gave Michigan another first down. This has not been Michigan's strength this year. Their special teams play has been uneven. It's been quite frankly bad at times. Zavada still has an absolute nuclear weapon as a leg, but he can't seem to dial it in. And now that Andrew Marsh is returning punts, I think he already has the two longest punt returns of the season in minimal time.
There you go.
Yeah. But honestly, the special teams advantage that they have held the last couple of years, I'm not sure is there. So, you know, that's something that they've used. But what I do love about this game is the weather. I mean, the weather is going to, it's not going to be good. So where do you see a path for a Michigan victory?
Well, I think, you know, we talk about the running game, and I think whoever wins the running game is going to win this game. The other thing with it is turnovers. For the Michigan to win this game, they can't turn the ball over. They can't give Ohio State a short field. And they are going to have to effectively run the football. I still think the team that wins that battle with the total yards is going to do it. But if you
with rushing yards or total yards?
With rushing yards. Okay. But if you are able to run effectively enough, you can stay in the game. It means you have to have some longer sustained drives. Maybe they fizzle out at the end. But if throwing the ball is going to be difficult, that's going to be into Michigan's favor. But they're going to have to run. You can't just say, oh, sweet, now Ohio State can't throw, because Ohio State can run the ball. They've got three running backs there that average over 5.5 yards a carry. And it's not like, you know, two of those guys have 20 carries. I mean, these are three guys that have carried the ball this year. And Bo Jackson is turning into somewhat of a revelation this year. And he's averaging almost 7 yards a carry. And I'm sure he'd like to get to 1,000 yards. To do that, he's going to have a nice day of like 180 yards on the day. But it's tough sledding to do that. Michigan's got a defense that if they know that they can be one-dimensional because the weather is going to show that, then maybe, just maybe, they can stay in that game and do that. But I think that's how it is. They're going to have to run effectively. They're going to have to stop Ohio State from running it, and they cannot turn the ball over. And you also, I mean, it's all the little things. You can't have stupid penalties. The pre-snap penalties, don't do it. You're going to kill yourself doing that. Holding penalties, the holding penalty is the most to me, it feels like it's the most punitive penalty out there. It is 10 yards. One little mistake, one little grab cost you 10 yards and also cost you everything you just gained on the play. Do not do that. If they're able to do those things, they have an excellent chance of winning. But a couple of those things, you're going to stay in the game.
So, you know, it's interesting you bring up a couple of those things. Their rushing defense, Ohio State's rushing defense on paper, is terrifying. They allow 2.7 yards per carry, 80 yards rushing per game. They've allowed 4 rushing touchdowns all year, and they've gone through this whole season with allowed no opponent has rushed for more than 100 yards. That hasn't happened in Ohio State football since, I think it was prior to 1936, okay? They're allowing 7.5 points per game. The Ohio State defense on paper is ridiculous. Now, I went through this a couple years ago with Michigan's 2023 national championship team, in which they got late in the season, and people were saying, Michigan's resume isn't that strong because the schedule's so weak. And the schedule was, it was a fair question about Michigan. Ohio State has like the 58th best schedule in the country. They beat Texas in week one. That's their only ranked win. Now, winning at Washington isn't easy, but Washington's not a ranked team. Winning at Illinois isn't easy, but Illinois doesn't seem to be quite as good as maybe people thought they would be. They beat Penn State, but that was Penn State without Drew Aller. It was, you know, a zombie team that had lost their coach. So the numbers are ridiculous. And anytime you can do that, you have to respect that team. It is possible, though, that they have fattened up on an easier schedule, which Michigan did in 2023 until they had to prove themselves late.
Well, that's the thing, is that there's not a whole lot of, look who they did it to. I mean, the first week of the season, they shut down Texas, and that's it. They've given up, I think there have been 2 games since then where they've given up 2 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. That's it in a single game. But they haven't played a who's who of the Big Ten. Big Ten's got some good teams, and Ohio State hasn't had to play them. Michigan is a good team, and they're going to have to face them and improve it all on Saturday.
Common opponents, if you look at common opponents, Ohio State beat Washington by 18. Michigan beat them by 17. Purdue, Ohio State rolled Purdue. And Michigan beat them by a touchdown. And I think, God, this is so what's weird about the B1G now, this overinflated conference. I think that's their only common opponents.
Wow. That's crazy to think. But then again, when you have, 16 teams, 18 teams in the conference? Good God.
Isn't that weird?
That is weird.
Well, and then there's this. You don't know until you know. You got 2 first-time starters in this game. One's a redshirt freshman, one's a true freshman. Typically, as a formula, that's not ideal. They're both incredibly talented. San has elite receivers, and we don't know if those guys are going to play. Jeremiah Smith and Carnell Tate sat out last week. Brandon Ennis is no joke, but the 2 first-time starters in this game, stage is huge, pressure is huge. How do they respond?
Well, they've got a big tight end they use a lot, the kid from Purdue. He's awfully good. Running backs can catch the ball out of the backfield, and I think that's really where the game's going to be kind of in the balance, because throwing the ball downfield may not be in the cards, but utilizing plays at the line of scrimmage, throwing it on slants and just, you know, short routes to your tight ends and running backs, that is something that can be done, which, by the way, can also play to Michigan a strength there too. I mean, Marlon Klein's pretty good as a tight end. And their running backs can catch the ball. So I imagine that's going to be a big part of both teams' offenses when it comes to throwing the football.
Yeah, short passing game might be a thing. And look, Zach Marshall, who has been playing more at tight end, he made a catch last week when Bryce fired a fastball over his head, and he got his paws up there and just pulled it out of the sky on what was a high degree of difficulty catch. I think you could, say that he might be a bit of an emerging weapon for Michigan. Jordan Marshall is going to be back in this game. So, we shall see. Bryce is no stranger to playing in these kind of conditions. Julian Sain was a San Diego kid who went to Alabama, might be a little bit more foreign to him as we look for advantages for Michigan. We asked a question on Twitter, what is Michigan's path to victory? You can comment there. And we, as we often do, read the best comments on the air. AJ writes in, protect the football, must get points off any and all OSU turnovers, run the ball effectively to keep OSU's offense in the field, and protect the football. So protect the football twice. I also don't think a loss would be all that bad. This is a young team, and it will be a learning game for them. Patrick says, it's cliche, but they have to be able to run the ball, control the clock, and use Bryce's legs. From Dog Stole Greg on Twitter, Bryce with some early runs to get the defense worried about his legs. Marsh keeps making big plays. Defense needs to keep everything in front of them. No explosives. U of M 31-24. Going back to last year's game, watching that game again and going over some of the pregame notes, I said the most important stat in that game was FGA for Michigan. Ohio State's going to move the ball. Field goal attempts. And they held them to 3 field goal attempts, of which they only made one. But I don't know that FGA isn't another huge stat in this game for Michigan.
Well, yeah, I think it is a good stat. But if Ohio State's able to run the football, it's not going to matter.
NR says, try to keep it low scoring. Use Bryce's legs. Going to have to win the turnover battle. George says, run the ball. Hope every OSU receiver pulls a hammy. 2 or 3 pick sixes would probably help. Well, they're dealing with injuries right now. I don't hope anybody gets hurt. In fact, I kind of hope they play.
So let me ask you something about it. Because last year you said it was almost like they were walking towards the gallows, and yet Michigan still ended up winning the game. The big criticism after a couple of years ago, it was Hutch's senior year there when they beat Ohio State. The big criticism of Ohio State after that game was that they got beat up at the line of scrimmage, right? That they got it handed to them right at the line of scrimmage on both sides, whether it was on offense or on defense, that they got manhandled. And I think Ohio State's been battling that ever since, like that they weren't tough enough up front. And last year was kind of the same thing. They got labeled like they weren't tough enough. And you can be all tough after the game, but doesn't matter because you didn't get it done during the game and at home. Is that a factor this time around too? Do you think Ohio State is going to try it? Because the way I look at it, Ohio State can run the football. And Michigan has not been as stout as we've seen in the past with the defensive line. They just don't have the players there yet. These guys could be good, really good players when all is said and done, and maybe this is their big game where they show up. But if Ohio State is solely focused again on proving how tough they are at the line, is that going to be a detriment to them?
Well, there's one of two things. If they choose to do that, great. And if they have to do it because of the weather, also great. They clearly have elite weapons outside if those kids play. And if they can't use them as much or choose not to use them, then I think that brings Ohio State's big advantage back closer to Michigan's level. But we'll talk more about it later. We got the college football blitz thingy straight ahead.
Holiday doorbuster deals are on at Lowe's. Today only, get select 1-quart poinsettias and select translucent plant saucers for $1 each. That means for a limited time, you can decorate to get in the Christmas spirit for less. Shop in-store to make sure you don't miss out on big savings all day. But hurry, these offers won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid 11/28, in-store only, limit 16 per person. Selection varies by location, while supplies last.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Black Friday? More like Black Fry Yay! Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
It is 97.1. Doug Karsh alongside Scott Anderson. It is 97.1 The Ticket. We actually will talk a little Michigan State, Maryland game being played at Ford Field Saturday night. We got picks coming up today at 1:38 too, because this is a virtual Friday for us. Lions playing tomorrow, and we'll get into Lions coming up after the college football blitz thingy. Gator went first yesterday, so I am on the clock.
All right, Doug, question number one. It's time to start looking at Heisman Trophy candidates, all right? Who's a sleeper candidate that you shouldn't, you know, no one should be overlooking?
Okay. I have a ballot, and I can't remember the last time the guy I voted for won. I think it's been a while. I look at every position, which I don't think too many people do. I'm not convinced that the best player in the country isn't Caleb Downs. He has no shot to win it. I get how this works, but my ballot doesn't reflect who I think has a shot to win it. There is a player here that I think if I mention his name, I don't know how many people even know what team he plays for, and that's Marcel Reese from Texas A&M. Quarterback, okay, so you know he is amongst the top 10 favorites, so I don't know if he's that much of a sleeper, but you're talking about a true dual threat guy who's responsible for 31 touchdowns. He's got just 5 picks. They're undefeated. What he doesn't have and what he needs, and what he needs to get this weekend, is a Heisman moment. And they've got Texas on the schedule in a huge rivalry game. And I think he could vault to the top with a Heisman moment.
This is a tougher question than I thought it was going to be. I started looking at it and looking at, okay, is there a receiver that's really been unbelievable? And I mean, there's guys out there.
I said Reese, didn't I? It's Reed. My bad. Go ahead.
Looking defensively, is there somebody just lighting up the nation with how many quarterback sacks he's got or how many tackles they've got? And there are guys that have done well, but nobody that really stood out. And then I just start. Let's stop making it too difficult. Look at the quarterbacks. And when I did, and I recognized this, the player I'm bringing up might also be in the top 10. But I think the award's probably going to go to Mendoza or Sayan or Jeremiah Love. That being said, I chose Diego Pavia from great Vanderbilt.
Call. Great call.
This guy, without him, the Commodores are still just bad Vandy. Instead, he's been amazing. 26 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, almost 3,000 yards passing. Add another 650 rushing and 8 more touchdowns. He's a one-man wrecking crew in the toughest conference in college football. Wins over ranked South Carolina, LSU, and Missouri. And in a loss to Texas, he had over 400 yards in offense with 4 touchdowns and no picks. So, yeah, Diego Pavia.
All right, guys. A guy who's just been overlooked as a Heisman candidate and a sleeper, I'm sticking with my preseason long shot bet, 41, Alabama wide receiver Ryan Williams. No, this is not a selfish call at all, guys. It's not because I put money on it in Vegas way back when.
Good to know.
I mean, I don't know how you can ignore 40 catches, 598 yards, and 4 touchdowns. And don't forget, also, he has 1 carry for 16 yards.
Don't.
Did you even watch that carry? It was 16 yards. Do not, Doug, I'm talking to you. I'm not looking at you, Gator. Doug, I'm looking at you. Do not forget, wide receiver Ryan Williams.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Florida State has just joined the recent trend in keeping their embattled coach, Mike Norvell. Can he turn it around at Florida State, or are they going to regret this decision?
No, I think it's the right decision. I mean, this is a guy that did take the team to 13-1 heights just a few years ago, and they had a chance to win a national championship right before the quarterback broke his leg or whatever it was that he did. It was really unfortunate. He's recruited very well there. They've got top 20 recruiting classes in each of the last several seasons, including they're on pace right now this year to have a top 20 recruiting class as well. I think he's going to be fine in that conference. I know people get all nervy the last couple of years. They've not been good years for them, but I think he's got a good foundation of young players that they're starting to play together.
What's really weird in college football is that suddenly money matters and wasting money matters, because we're talking about that equals players now. Florida State just invested $400 million in their facilities. They didn't want to burn another $50 million with a buyout of Mike Norvell. You can't waste money in this day and age, and all like budgets matter. And so, you know, I think they won't regret this, because I think the alternative is worse. And taking not only do you have to pay this guy, you have to pay the new coach, and then you have to pay for his roster. It's like a triplicate of tax to fire your coach anymore. So you better have your ducks in a row financially. And given what they just invested into the program in terms of facilities, I think they'd be in worse shape if they moved on from him.
I just want to say Ryan Williams one more time. Okay. All right. Now to answer the question. Yeah. You know what? I think budget does matter, Doug, but I don't think it matters as much as it used to. But I do think that they did the right thing in keeping Norvell. You don't just fire someone to fire someone. You got to fire someone to hire the right guy. And if the right guy is not available, I don't think Norvell, he's actually shown flashes, and I think he does have a chance to turn it around. I think we're quick to fire and let go guys and just, you know, bring out the pitchforks and all that stuff in today's age in sports. I think keeping Norvell for at least one more year, I think it's the right call. All right, interim head coach Terry Smith has won two games in a row at Penn State. Interim coach Tim Skipper is 3-4 at UCLA. Do either one of them have a shot at the respective jobs to become the full-time head coach?
I think Skipper does. The problem, I cannot in a million years imagine that Penn State fired James Franklin to hand it over to one of his longtime lieutenants in Terry Superfly Smith, especially after Franklin accepted the Penn State or the Virginia Tech job and negotiated his buyout down from $49 million to $9 million. So they have money. They got out of that a little bit. Pat Fitzgerald on the brand with Penn State, I think, is a scary combination. So I say Skipper's got a shot. Terry Smith does not.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think Smith has absolutely no shot at Penn State. Skipper might at UCLA if they want to keep the band together and keep, you know, Birchie Neuheisel over there and the rest of the gang. Penn State's a big boy program, infertile recruiting ground, deep pockets. They're going to get their guy, but it ain't going to be Smith.
Yeah, I agree. Terry Smith, no shot. Tim Skipper, maybe. I mean, he did play and coach at Fresno State, so he's familiar with the state, at least, of California. But I'm not sure how serious UCLA is about their football program. I think if they're not that serious, they probably end up keeping Skipper. But if they're dead serious, go find somebody. Like I suggested, like Mike McDaniel if he gets fired, or someone, you know, a bigger name. Aren't they talking about playing in SoFi and all that stuff? And you know, the student, you know, student section is empty always. Seems like no one's at their game. So I think he has a shot, but let's see if they're serious or not. All right, call your shot. A shocker this weekend. Plenty of great matchups.
All right, I'm going to go with Mississippi State taking down Ole Miss. They are 7.5 dogs in the game. They're at home, and Lane Kiffin might be coaching his last game for Ole Miss. And you know what? The players are going to know. And the players know that going into it. They're not happy about that. I don't think they're going to be, oh, let's win one for the coach that's leaving us. So I think it's going to have an effect. I think Mississippi State has a really good chance of knocking down Ole Miss.
That is a great call. This did happen when Lane Kiffin was flirting with Auburn back in 2022. The guys in the College Football Inquirer, who are Mississippi and Mississippi State guys, were saying the last time Lane did this, he took a heavy favorite into this game and lost to Mississippi State. So that could happen. People are going to expect me to say Michigan over Ohio State, so I will. I think Michigan is going to beat Ohio State. But I also like Georgia Tech over Georgia. Georgia Tech over Georgia. I like Kansas over number 13, Utah. But the number one I will take that I'm most sure of is Pitt over number 18, Miami. Freshman quarterback Mason Heinsohn's coming off a great game against Georgia Tech. And they got a little freshman running back, Jakarian Turner, who's like 5'7" tall. He rushed for 200 yards against Georgia Tech last week. Pitt over Miami.
So my pick is not necessarily a shocker because you saw who my Heisman pick was. So I'm going to stay away from that kind of stuff moving forward. Ryan Williams, Doug. So I'm taking Washington over Oregon. They're only like a touchdown dog, but this is a big, huge rivalry game. They're at home. Someone in the top 12 is losing, though. You mentioned all those games. You guys mentioned someone is going to get upset this weekend. That's how it works out. I love the craziness of college football. All right, LSU is trying to avoid paying Brian Kelly his full buyout because he says he was fired without a cause. They're saying they're firing him with cause. He said he wasn't formally let go. They're having a huge legal issue here. How do you see this thing shaking out?
Okay, this is a mess. You've got politicians involved. I don't think Brian Kelly, his whole plea that I can't get another job because I'm not, this hasn't been cleared up yet. I think that all that is billable hours. Those are his lawyers saying we need to build a case so you get your entire buyout. And that's what it's all about. And this is going to be a court battle for some time. That's how it's going to play out. I'm not really familiar with which way it's going to go. My guess is Kelly's going to get most of his buyout, but I don't think we're going to hear about this for a while. And I don't think Brian Kelly really cares that he can't get another job. I think this is all negotiating.
How does it end? In litigation. I'm not convinced that Kelly lands a gig this hunting season. I think he'll have to decide what's more important, fighting the language of the contract or coaching. And in the end, I think he's going to fight for the cash that LSU doesn't want to pay him. So I think he's going to sit out this coaching cycle.
So his buyout's $54 million. Allegedly, they've offered him $30 million, and he's turned it down. I think he should take the $30 million because if this legal battle is happening in the state of Louisiana, Brian Kelly is cooked. Sorry, buddy. Basically, the state of Louisiana fired you. All right, Gator, your guy, North Dakota State head coach Tim Polasek, 7-year extension. I want you to describe your reaction in one word that starts with the letter F.
Yeah, fiery. I was...
That's your guy. You want him as a sleeper pick, right? Michigan State.
Yeah, and for me, it was more because nobody had said this name. We were looking to do a deep dive, try to find somebody who might be a candidate if Michigan State decides to move on from Jonathan Smith. And I went with Tim Polasek because he had Midwest roots. He's from Wisconsin. He coached 3 years at Iowa in the offensive line. Can Michigan State use some offensive line help? Yeah, having a head coach that knows how to work that part of it and did it at Iowa would work well. Oh, and by the way, went 14-2 last year in his first year at North Dakota State and a national championship. And he's followed that up this year. It's a little bit of a struggle. 12-0, and they're the number one team in the country in NCAA Division I. And he's only 46.
I want to give Gator a ton of credit. He went out and found the most Cignetti guy he could find. And that guy just got locked up at the 1AA level. They're playing defense at the 1AA level because this guy is so good. You were early on this bandwagon, and now people might know his name. When you first said it, I'm sure everybody was like, who? Well, bravo to you for this call.
Oh, I'm bummed.
There you go.
There was no question.
It never even got oxygen.
No.
Aside from this show, not one person has said, Tim Polasek.
No, that's why my one letter or one word letter at the start of F was fool. You fool, Gator.
Fail. Fail.
Yeah,
fail
too, yeah.
All right, that concludes the college football blitz thingy. Let's get to some Lions talk straight ahead. Massive, massive game tomorrow. What does it come down to? It's 97-1.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores.
True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of the Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
We're sitting here talking about the Heisman Trophy, and it's so funny when you get into a debate about, you know, what I think it's impossible to determine who the best player in the college game is. So I think the approach of here's the pool of a bunch of guys that are at the top of the food chain, and then which one has the most positive impact on a successful team. And that's where your guy Pavia is 100% a guy that should be getting strong consideration. And I like that call a lot.
And unfortunately, they're playing a big game against Tennessee this week, but that big game pales in comparison to some of the other big games going to be played this week. And his team already has two losses. It seems like it's almost a fait accompli that the voters look for somebody who's on a national championship caliber team and pick the best player on that team and do it. Okay, that's a way to do it. But you're going to miss out on some really talented players to kind of scrutinize over if that's the way you're going to go about selecting it.
I also want to clarify something. I said something in my building my case for Marcel Reed, the quarterback at Texas A&M, because we were talking about sleepers or guys that don't forget about this guy in terms of Heisman consideration. I said, you know, he doesn't have his Heisman moment. He could get a huge Heisman moment. There's a lot of guys like that. You don't need to necessarily have a quote-unquote Heisman moment. But I feel like that helps you win. I can vote for a guy without a Heisman moment. There's ample examples of players that you don't have to have that moment. But if you're going to win it, it almost feels like a prerequisite anymore. It doesn't necessarily impact my ballot, but
I considered just to have the line, he has the greatest Heisman moment of the season, the highlight of the year. I was considering Omar Cooper, the receiver from Indiana, for that catch that he had.
Or Mendoza.
Against the catch, it was the highlight against Penn State.
That drive that game for Mendoza was so good, and his receivers in that drive were so good.
But unfortunately for Cooper, the 740 yards receiving a 13.5-yard average doesn't – I mean, he's got 10 touchdowns, and he is excellent, but – It wasn't eye popping enough. Like when you compare that to say Jeremiah Love and what he's done with Notre Dame, or some of the other quarterbacks are putting up some ridiculous numbers.
I'm interested to see this Indiana team in a playoff situation because they're I think way better than last year's Indiana team.
I agree with that. I think they're a better team than they were last year. And look, they got beat by a couple touchdowns against Notre Dame, but they were the only team in the first round that really showed a pulse in any of those games. And they still got maligned for it. I'm like, why are you dumping all over Indiana because they lost to Notre Dame? One of the better teams in the country.
In a decently competitive game, comparatively speaking.
Well, same state, but yes. It is at Notre Dame, literally.
What do you mean?
It's the state of Indiana, but yeah.
Right. I'm saying they won on the road, or they played tough on the road. The Elijah Surratt is a legit big you know, talented receiver. Roman Hemby got on the map at Maryland, and now you put him on a good team, looks completely different. On defense, Aiden Fisher is something special.
What are you getting ready for the Big Ten championship game? You're already counting those chickens, huh? Doug's counting chickens.
I'm not counting. I'm counting nothing. I'm doing
the research on Indiana.
I like this Indiana team better than I like last year's Indiana team. But I don't know if that's saying a whole lot. Probably most people do. But we do want to get to Michigan State and Maryland because on a surface level, I'm going to make this comment. I feel like we use the term fending a lot in sports. Like the Pistons the other night basically dominated Indiana, the Pacers, most of that game. And then in the end, they kind of fended off the Pacers. Mm-hmm. It was a classic fending. Here's a team getting hot. The crowd's behind him. Pistons need to come up with a big bucket or a big stop, and they found a way. Indiana amazingly came from 20 down or whatever it was and had a shot to tie the game. It was a fending. I feel like Jonathan Smith has done enough to fend. I think that any performance in which a team after UCLA, if they had another UCLA-type performance, I think he might have been gone in the moment. Now, maybe it just gets him to the finish line and he gets fired after the season. But I think there's this recent trend going on. Fickell staying, getting another year. Loxley, now Norvell. I think it could happen with Smith.
Well, it's funny you say, if they played like they did against UCLA, that he would have been gone. The following week, they played at Indiana and lost by the same score.
But
because they actually were in that game for a half of football. And this is the story of Michigan State football in 2025. The effort was there for the most part until you get to the later parts of the game. Like they played teams during this, I can't believe it's an 8-game losing streak at this time, but during this losing streak, they played teams tough. Like they played USC tough. They had it down to a single score late in the game. You know, they lost to Nebraska by 11 points. UCLA was terrible. That was a bad game. Indiana, they played Indiana tough. They played Michigan tough. They should have beaten Minnesota, losing overtime. They played Penn State tough for a half of football. They played Iowa tough. They should have won that game. They had a double-digit lead in the fourth quarter. All of it's not good enough. And because all that's not good enough, coupled with the fact that Jay Batt, the athletic director of Michigan State, has not come out and given the full support of the head football coach publicly, they haven't given him that vote of confidence like the other schools have. I got to think that he's not coming back, that Jonathan Smith is done at Michigan State, but that they can afford to wait until Monday to make that announcement or Sunday to make that announcement, because why bother at this point? You've already got everybody else looking for it. You know what you're going to do. You've already done your job. But I think it means something when they haven't given the vote of confidence.
Okay. I acquiesce to you.
Do you think it means anything?
I don't know. I think – I feel like there's a lot of rumblings, and I'm not tied in there at all. Rico is. Rico thinks there's a chance he's coming back.
There's a chance he's coming back, but what about just the fact that everybody else has had their athletic director come out and say
we're
keeping him, and Michigan State hasn't done that.
I think they want to see them finish the season without another UCLA performance. That's the only reason I can think that he wouldn't have done it. If another one of those happens, I think the trapdoor gets pulled. I mean, I guess it's the last game.
Well,
of the year.
Yeah, and they
would have gotten pulled.
Technically, they are favored in this game at Ford Field.
Yeah. All right, we mentioned the Lions. We get to it, and then we went back to college football. My apologies. Lions 7-4, Green Bay 7-3-1. Lions a small favorite here. I think it's 2.5 points. We asked people on Twitter, who you got and why. Comments will be read on the air. We got a bunch of comments that we can get to. The vote, though. What do you think Lions Nation is? You've been around this week. What do you think the Lions? I want you to think about what you think the Lions, how much support they have from the local fan base. We'll tell you what that is and start talking Lions next on 97.1.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.